Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. A special welcome to those who are joining us via the live streams this morning. It is always a pleasure to welcome visitors to St. John's, and we're pleased to have you join with us. The announcements for today are contained, were on the screens before you and contained in the bulletins as you were gathering today. I hope you had the opportunity to take pause and make note of those announcements which are of most importance to you. During the month of March, our mission focus has been on the camping ministries within the Synod, and we here in the Synod of Quebec and Eastern Ontario are doubly blessed. We have two camps within the bounds of the Synod, Gracefield Christian Camp and Retreat Center in Gracefield, northeast of Ottawa, and Camp Action Biblique east of Montreal. So two opportunities for sending young people to camp, and today we're focusing on our camping ministry. So you're welcome to make a free will offering at the lunch downstairs to support young people and their ability to go to camp. It's a shame that some do not have this opportunity simply because of financial resources, and so campership funds are a valuable source for the camps to allow young people to attend camp each week. And as I mentioned, there's lunch downstairs, so please do plan to stay. There's a variety of soups, and there will be buns and cheese and pickles and s'mores for dessert, because you can't go to camp without having a s'more. So please do plan to join us following worship for that. Lily insert for Easter has returned once more. Please make note of that. For anyone who is new to the congregation, we do provide opportunities for people to donate lilies to brighten the front of the church on Easter morning and to give them either as a gift or in loving memory of someone. So please make note of the insert and fill it out as you feel so moved. And the deadline for that is the 1st of April. And finally, just as we are here at the fifth Sunday of Lent now, Holy Week services are not that far away. We will be having the usual panoply of opportunities for worship throughout Holy Week, beginning next Sunday morning with Palm Sunday, and then a Maundy Thursday service at 7 p.m. on the following Thursday with communion, Good Friday on the Friday, the 3rd of April, and the celebration of the resurrection on April the 5th. So lots of opportunities to gather, to sing, to reflect on all of those events as they pass before us in the week to come. As we enter in worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, as we do each week, as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that even in our darkest times, the light of Christ continues to shine forth and guide us on our way. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their soul to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Give us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness keep us from doing it, that in your light we may see light clearly, and in your service find perfect freedom. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 77 in the Book of Praise, From All That Dwell Below the Skies, hymn number 77. Friends, when we gather to praise God, we remember that we are people who have preferred our wills to his, accepting God's power to become new persons through Jesus Christ. Let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say the prayer of confession as it appears before us. Awesome and compassionate God, you have loved us with unfailing, self-giving mercy, but we have not loved you. You constantly call us, but we do not listen. You ask us to love, but we walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, as you come to us in mercy, we repent in spirit and in truth, admit our sins, and gratefully receive your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, hear this good word and believe. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember all his commandments. Through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as God has forgiven us, so we are to be forgiving one of another. Let us stand now and turn to our neighbors and greet each other with a sign of the peace of Christ. And may Christ's peace be with you. Our hymn is number 73 in the book of Praise. Praise to the Lord. Hymn number 73. And Kian, yes, Willem already came up. He reserved his place while we were passing the piece. Now, we were talking a little bit about today is Camping Ministry Sunday here at St. John's, and we're lucky in that we have people who actually know lots about the two camps that are part of our synod and are in our region. And so Alex is going to come forward and share with us a little bit about Gracefield Camp, and Anita's going to come forward and speak to us about CAB, Camp Action Biblique in Quebec. Guess you're first, Alex. You were here first, so away you go.
Good morning. So you know me as Alex in the church, but at Gracefield, I am known as Brother Bear, and I actually worked as a summer camp counselor back just a little over 10 years ago. And Gracefield, just to start, have any of you been camping before? Yeah, so you all know the camping experience, right? Gracefield takes that camping experience to a whole new level, because not only do they have a bunch of trails and camping sites, but they have activities that is designed for kids of all ages. Some of the camps that they have are for younger ones. Some designed exactly for young ones. Some are designed for teenagers. And there are even camps for adults and seniors as well. So Gracefield really caters to everyone. And there's all sorts of different activities at Gracefield. They have archery, and even the young ones get to do archery. I helped a few of those young ones hit the target, which is very impressive. They also have canoeing, so if you like to go on the lake. What's really nice about Gracefield is that they actually have a very long coastline, so they have a lot of access to a lake. So if you like swimming, canoeing, Gracefield is definitely one of the places you want to visit. And all of the campers that stay at Gracefield stay in a cabin, which is about, I don't know, maybe the size of this little alcove section here, about how, maybe a little bit bigger. And there are at most 12 other campers that stay in the cabin with two counselors. And you get to do all kinds of activities throughout the day. I can also attest that the food at Gracefield is absolutely delicious. If you've ever been to a Presbyterian function, either here at St. John's or elsewhere, you know that the food is guaranteed to be good. The same applies to Gracefield. The food is quite delicious. And one of the other unique things about Gracefield is that there are also themed camps. So it's not just the outdoorsy stuff where you get to sometimes sleep in a tent if you're going on a wilderness hike or, you know, doing archery or canoeing. There's also a art camp that's called MAD, which is music, arts, drama, and dance. And you do some of the outdoorsy stuff, but you also do lots of artistic stuff, like arts and crafts. Sometimes you do songwriting or poetry or any kinds of other artistic things. So if you like art, that's a camp that you can enjoy. There's a STEM camp, which deals in the sciences and the math. You get to do a bit of astronomy, looking at the stars and learning about how nature works and all kinds of really cool stuff. So there's lots of different camps. There's leadership camps as well for the teenagers who want to gain more leadership skills by leading campers, doing projects, that sort of thing. So yeah, I absolutely love Gracefield. I'm a bit biased being a staff member, a former staff member, but it's a great camp. There's also opportunities for work weekends, so if you like to help open and close up the camp, you get to enjoy free room and board while you do the work, so I think that's a pretty fair deal. You get some rest time in between to enjoy the lake or any of that sort of thing. There's winter camps as well during March break. They just had their camp. They're going to have another one next year. Following the service during lunch, if you have questions about Gracefield in particular, you can speak to either myself or my father, Dan, who's currently in the back. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about Gracefield. And now it is time to learn about Camp d'Action de Biblique.
Merci. Yes, good morning, everyone. Gracefield may be known quite well to this congregation for historic reasons. There's another camp in our synod, the Synod of Quebec and Eastern Ontario. We're part of a larger geographical area, and that's Camp d'Action Biblique, which has been in existence since 1948 or so. It is a Presbyterian camp supported by our synod. The Quebec camping dollars from Quebec churches, Presbyterian churches, go to CAB. The Eastern Ontario camping dollars, Synod camping dollars, go to Gracefield. Of course, everyone is free to go wherever you want. Now, I've been, I was very involved with Camp d'Action Biblique for many years, did just about all the jobs. It's a great camp, not as beautiful as Gracefield, 62 acres of farmland, and there's a pond, not a lake. It's unassuming. It's very intimate. It only does kids. Lots of adults sort of in the background. Not everybody, all the adults who are at CAB deal with the kids. The cooks, the chaplains, everyone, their grandparents, so it's one big family for the week that you go to CAB. So it's bilingual too. Everybody speaks French and English, so you go back and forth in the two languages. And so it's both an hour and a half to Richmond, Quebec, or Gracefield, Quebec, from Cornwall. It's equidistant. So you can. There's lots of choice. It's also a bit cheaper at CAB, a lot cheaper, because it's all volunteer labor, basically. What to say? Well, all the same things that Alex told you that happened at Gracefield happen at CAB too. Wide games, archery, swimming, canoeing. So I hope that for my kids, I didn't go to camp as a child, and I wish I had, because it is a wonderful experience. I think that you have to be about 8 or 9 or so to go comfortably. Some kids can go at 7, but they may miss their parents a bit. Anyway, both camps are also certified by the Quebec Camping Association, which I think is quite important because it's safety first for both camps. And camps know each other, work together, and we're excited that this congregation is doing a Camp Sunday and helping kids go to camp, grow in faith, and because there's at camp there's chapel and prayers before the meals. We really try to teach kids Christian community, living in Christian community, getting to know each other, and enjoying that a lot. Okay, God bless.
Now, just I guess I'll ask the question as we kind of tidy things up. Who in the congregation has been to Gracefield? See, I can't put my hand up yet. I haven't been. Have you been to Gracefield, Colleen? I was going to say, how did you get to Gracefield? I've never been to Gracefield. Oh, okay. Who's been to Camp Dash Action Biblique? Oh, you've got a friend, Anita. Mike's been. So that's wonderful. Who's been to Dutch Harbor Camp? Dad was just mentioning it downstairs. Dan and I were camp counselors at Dutch Harbor Camp in 1987. Yeah, 1987. And we forgot about each other until I arrived here and we started talking one day. And there's camps like Dutch Harbor, Gracefield, and Camp d'Action Biblique in Quebec, across the country. And I've been to my fair share. Yeah, Mike.
Where is Dutch Harbor?
Where is Dutch Harbor? Dutch Harbor is in the BC Kootenays. Across the lake from Nelson, is that how you describe it? Yep, so Creston, Cranbrook, Kimberley, Nelson, that basic area. Is it Dutch Harbor Lake? Kootenay Lake. It no longer belongs to the Presbyterians anymore, but it was a lovely spot back in the day. And if you want horror stories of camp, come and talk to me about my summer at Dutch Harbor. Well, thank you for listening to camp. I hope that got you thinking about perhaps opportunities that you might have to go to camp. Young people are going downstairs. They're doing a videotape on David. So we're looking forward to meeting back with them at lunchtime today, and maybe they can tell you what they learned about David this morning. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. All these things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 to 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and do not let anyone be seen throughout all the mountain, and do not let flocks or herds graze in front of that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the former ones, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai. as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed down to the ground and worshiped. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, I pray, let my Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for your inheritance. He said, I thereby make a covenant. Before all your people, I will perform marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you live shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. The second reading is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the next reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to testify to the light so that all might believe in him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The psalm is Psalm 117.
I'm going to read that.
Okay. I'm just following along.
That's my reading. Good. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer had three long readings this morning. As we come now towards the sermon time, we will read from Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you people. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. I gave myself the short one. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been thinking about a project that you should get started with and thought, I don't know if I have quite enough of something to actually get this thing going? Maybe you're thinking about a sewing project, but you're just a little bit short on the fabric and you're thinking, well, I can start it, but I think I've got enough, but I'm not quite sure. Or maybe you're in the kitchen baking and not sure if you've got enough, I don't know, sugar or cocoa to fill out the recipe. And so do I start it? Do I do it? Do I go to the store and get something and come back to this later? Or maybe you're in the situation that I was in yesterday, digging through the box that holds all those tubes of half-used tubes of caulking. For guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And trying to find just the right one for just the right task, because nowadays that's how caulking comes, just the right one for just the right task, and not quite finding the one that you're looking for. Now, if you've had any of those experiences, then you have some sense of the amount of dread with which I've been looking forward to this, the fifth Sunday in Lent. Despite the appropriateness of the planning that went on in the preparation for Lent this year and our reading pilgrimage through these Psalms of Pilgrimage, the Hallel Psalms that we've been moving through over these past several weeks, there was one looming reality as we drew closer to the end of Lent and to the end of the Hallel Psalms. And it was simply this: what can you do with a two-verse psalm? Is there a sermon to be found in just two verses? But as I began really reading this psalm this past week, I discovered that the answer to the question is yes. Yes, there's a sermon in just two verses. Despite the fact that this is indeed the shortest of all of the psalms in the Psalter, containing somewhere around 30 words, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're reading from, Psalm 117 presents us with something most precious. Psalm 117 presents to us a complete understanding of God in two verses. Indeed, a complete understanding of God in two words: Hesed and Emeth. Now, the psalm begins with this call to praise that we heard. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. And then it goes on to articulate why God is worthy of such praise. God's praise is based upon those two words, Hesed and Emeth. They are words that run like a warp thread through the tapestry of the Hebrew scriptures. They come up time and again. Hesed, steadfastness, is how the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible translates it. And emeth, faithfulness. Right, Psalm 170 says, "For the Lord is steadfast and he is faithful." And time and again throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the children of God are reminded that their God is hesed and emeth, steadfast and faithful. As we heard from the book of Exodus this morning, God defines God's own self in that reading that Jennifer just shared with us, with these two words, hesed and emeth, steadfast and faithful. Here in this rearticulation of the Ten Commandments, which is what we have here in this chapter, the commandments that describe the relationship between God and God's people and between God's people and all the other peoples in whose midst they live, God begins by defining himself. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. These two words are the foundation stones upon which the covenant that God goes on to speak of is built. Israel can dare to remain faithful to God and to God's covenant, the covenant that God had first established with Abraham and Sarah and repeatedly reaffirmed with each successive generation down until this very moment where Moses meets God on the mountain. And all of their descendants, because in a world that seems fickle and transient, a world that is not always just or fair or right, time and again, God has shown to God's people that God is steadfast and faithful. And indeed, it is these two competing realities, the transience of this world as opposed to the steadfastness of God, that makes the worship of God's people so important. The children of God are called to worship the Lord, both in the psalm and in the reading from Exodus, to sing God's praise and to tell of God's deeds, precisely because God is the one on which we can depend. In a world that bobs along on the top of the waves like a cork on the sea, the unavoidable reality of human history is that our world is just as unpredictable today as it ever was during the times that were chronicled in Scripture. We live in a whiplash world where fates of peoples and nations shift with every passing day, it seems, where the limits of military might and the precariousness of economic prosperity are laid bare all around us. And all seems to be just a little too unpredictable. And while we might just say, well, that's just today, the reality is that's the way the world is. Politicians would have us believe that they always have the right answer, the right solution to the problems of today. But history has shown an awful propensity in the human condition to outwit even the ablest human mind. In the end, one unmoving reality remains: the steadfast love of the Lord, which welcomes in those who grow weary of bearing the heavy burdens of this world and seeks to find the one thing that binds us together, that the God who created the world in wonder and declared it good, still longs to see that good reflected in our world and in our lives. It is for this reason that we gather each week. It is for this reason that we come in praise to extol the mighty deeds of our God. For God alone sees the goodness behind our polluted state and holds forth a vision of a world where peace and justice abide. Let all who long for a better world praise the Lord and know that he is trustworthy and true. Amen. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, which is your true and proper worship. As we come this day, let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, everything we have comes from you. You fill us with good things. Our hearts and lives overflow with your abundance. With thanksgiving, we bring to you our time, talents, and tithes, and pray that you will use the gifts that you have given us to feed others as we have been fed, to serve others as we have been served, and to bless others as we have been blessed. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join our voices in praise as we sing hymn 581, Pour Out Your Spirit from on High, hymn 581. There you go. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We're back. As we change slightly now, we move into a time of ordination for our and admission of new elders to the congregation of St. John's. A footnote needs to be added to the service at this point because unlike often is the case where we have new elders and we ordain new elders, within the Presbyterian Church in Canada, ordination is a lifetime gift of the imbuing of God's Spirit upon those whom he calls into ministries. And this morning we will welcome three new elders, two by ordination and admission, and one, because she has already been ordained, simply will be admitted into the fellowship and the number of the Kirk session. So if you're wondering why Anita doesn't get treated like all of the other new elders this morning, it is because she's special, but all the other elders are special too. But in this particular case, ordination has taken place for her, and we simply affirm that gift as we come this morning. Our service begins with some responses. I invite you to stand as we begin the service of ordination. And on each of these slides, the second line is yours. Yeah, you can see the bold print on your monitors. Please feel free to respond with the bold print. There are varieties of gifts.
But the same Spirit.
There are varieties of services.
But the same Lord.
There are varieties of activities.
But it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone.
To each one is given a gift by the Spirit.
To use it for the common good.
Together we are the body of Christ.
And individually members of it.
Though we have different gifts, together we are called to be the church with a ministry in the world which is led by the risen Christ. Let us now confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The creed is found on page 539 in your Book of Praise, or it will appear before you on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Following the demission from office of several elders, the session of St. John's Presbyterian Church determined that new elders should be appointed to fill out its numbers. On October 27th, a list of members of the congregation and instructions on how to vote using the Jot Form website was disseminated to the congregation with a deadline of November 9th, 2025. The session reviewed the voting results at its regular meeting on January 10th, 2026, and the minister and the clerk were empowered to approach those nominated. After speaking with a number of candidates, it was recommended to the session on February 10th, 2026, that Anita Mack, Robert Martin, and Laura McFadson be admitted to the eldership of St. John's Presbyterian Church, which was carried. These steps have brought us to this place. At this time, I would invite Anita Mack, Robert Martin, and Laura McFadson to come forward, and for the session of St. John's, please to join them as well.
and former elders?
Former elders are certainly welcome to join us. Moderator, on behalf of the session and the people of this congregation, I present to you Robert Martin and Laura McFadzen, and request that you now proceed to ordain them as elders. And we also present Anita Mack for a reconfirmation of her ordination, and admit them all to our session.
Friends, listen to what the Presbyterian Church in Canada believes concerning the ministry of ruling elders. All ministries of the church proceed from and are sustained by the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and king, the minister of the covenant of grace. By the operation of God's word and spirit, the church is gathered, equipped, and sent out to participate in this ministry. All members of the church are called to share the gospel with the world and to offer to the Father the worship and service that are due to the Creator from the creation through Christ, the only mediator, until he comes again. That the church may continually renew and nurture for ministry, the church furnishes the church with pastors and teachers. He requires and enables the church to discern to confirm by ordination those whom he calls to this pastoral and teaching office. The standards of this church God entrusts to all with a special degree of responsibility and care. The form of presbyterial church government of the Westminster Assembly reminds us that Christ has furnished some in the church, besides the minister of word and sacrament, with gifts for government and with commission to execute the same, when called thereunto, who are to join with the minister in the government of the church, which officers Reformed churches commonly call elders. The Presbyterian Church in Canada is bound only to Jesus Christ, the church's king and head. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament, as the written word of God testifying to Christ's living word, are the canon of all doctrine by which Christ rules our faith and life. We acknowledge our historic continuity with the Holy Catholic Church and our doctrinal heritage in the ecumenical creeds and confessions of the Reformation. Our subordinate standards are the Westminster Confession of Faith, as adopted in 1875 and 1889, the Declaration of Faith Concerning Church and Nation of 1954, and Living Faith, Foi Vivant, as adopted in 1998. And such doctrines as the Church, in obedience to Scripture and under the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, may yet confess in the Church's continuing functioning for the reformulation of the faith. There you guys are. Anita Mack, Robert Martin, and Laura McFadzen, that your faith in God and your integrity of purpose may be declared before God and all people, you are required, in terms of this preamble, to answer the questions appointed for all who would enter the office of ruling elder. All of the answers are, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, made known in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom the Holy Spirit witnesses in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament?
I do.
Do you accept the subordinate standards of this church, promising to uphold its doctrine under the continual illumination and correction of the Holy Spirit speaking in the scriptures, and to be guided thereby in fostering Christian belief, worship, and service among the people? Do you accept the government of this church by sessions, presbyteries, synods, and general assemblies? And do you promise to share in and submit yourself to all lawful oversight therein, and to follow no divisive course, but to seek the peace and unity of Christ among your people and throughout the Holy Catholic Church? in accepting the office of elder, do you promise to perform your duties in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, striving to build up his church and to strengthen its mission in the world?
I do.
May the Lord bless you and give you grace to keep these vows. The ordination of elders in a congregation, if their leadership and ministry are to be fruitful, involves responsibilities for both the elders and the people of the church. These questions, therefore, I direct to you, the members and adherents of St. John's, so that you may renew your obligations to this shared ministry. And I would invite the congregation to stand as you are able. Do you confess your faith in God as creator and ruler of the world, in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit as your inspiration and strength?
We do.
Do you receive Anita Mack, Robert Martin, and Laura McFadden as elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead you in the way of Christ? Do you agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions as they guide you, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
We do.
May the Lord bless you and give you grace to keep these promises.
Amen.
And I would invite our two elders to be ordained to kneel, and we will join our hearts in prayer. We'll do two at once. Let us pray. We glorify and praise you, Lord God Almighty, for you have created us and called us to yourself. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ, your Son. You sustain our lives and our works through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Elders, Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for Laura McFadden, who you have called to serve as your ruling elder. By the power of your Spirit, develop in her the gifts of ministry, that she may have the same mind that is in Christ, serving you in the world as long as she shall live. Almighty God, in every age you have chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We thank you for Robert Martin, who you have called to serve you as a ruling elder. By the power of your Spirit, develop in him the gifts of ministry, that he may have the same mind that was in Christ, serving you in the world as long as he shall live. We pray all of these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now I invite the congregation to join us in prayer. And you guys can stand. God of grace, who baptized us into a common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, who called us to be a priesthood of all believers, who entrusted to us the message of reconciliation, we pray for courage and discipline to follow where your elders rightly lead us, that together we may declare your mighty acts and show your love to the world through Jesus Christ, who is ruler of all. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, and by the authority invested in me by the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, I now declare to you that you have been ordained as ruling elders, and I admit you three to the session of St. John's. Whatever you do, in word or action, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him. And now I would invite the members of session, elders of this congregation, to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Congratulations and paperwork for you. Congratulations, Bob, for you. And congratulations, welcome, and paperwork for you. And you may be seated. And the congregation may be seated. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we give you thanks that throughout history you have called men and women into service to serve your church and lead us in the paths of righteousness and truth. We give you thanks for all those whom you have gifted, for pastors and ministers, for elders and teachers, and others who have served you in many and different ways. Together, we are the body of Christ in the world. Bless your church as it faces uncertain and difficult times. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel anew with words that are relevant to our time today and that draw others back into the fellowship of your care. We as a congregation remember this day all those who bear the burdens of our world, those who live on the outskirts of this of our society, the invisible and the voiceless. And we remember those who are in need this day, all those who are ill, those who are awaiting diagnoses, and those who are facing death. In each and every circumstance, O God, be present amongst your people and assure them that you alone are steadfast and faithful, and that in you we find hope forevermore. Hold us in eternal fellowship, Lord God, with all of your church in all time and place, and with your saints who have served you before us and who have now gone on to their eternal rest. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is 269 in the Book of Praise. Your kingdom come, O God. Hymn 269.
Your kingdom come, O God, your rule, O Christ, begin. May
And now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.
The peace of the